There's this poem entitled Lead. Here is a story to break your heart. Are you willing? This winter, the loons came to our harbor and died one by one of nothing we could see. A friend told me of one on the shore that lifted its head and opened the elegant beak and cried out in the long, sweet savoring of its life, which, if you have heard it, you know is a sacred thing, and for which, if you have not heard it, you had better hurry to where they still sing, and believe me, tell no one just where that is. The next morning, this loon, speckled and iridescent, and with a plan to fly home to some hidden lake, was dead on the shore. I tell you this to break your heart, by which I mean only that it break open and never close again to the rest of the world. Perhaps like me, when hearing this poem, you can think of the times of great beauty in your life, things you've seen that are almost like miracles. And in the times that the beauty has broken open your heart to make it never close again to the rest of the world. The world all around us in its natural splendor and glory that you can witness around this building in your own lives. And in this world offers us moments of beauty and love and justice if only we but make ourselves vulnerable and willing to share in those moments of grace. I have post-it notes in my office, at my home, even at times on my computer, and they're just little things to remind me to do the things that I most commonly forget, like drink more water. The latest one that I've added just says, "Eyes open, McNeil. Eyes open." Like the story for all ages that we shared earlier, we can fall and often look downward to make sure that doesn't happen again. But with eyes open, we can share in those moments of grace. And that's what we do when we come to this place, to create a religious community together, bound not just by familial bonds, not just by one theology or creed that pulls us together, but actively choosing to be with one another in times of joys and sorrows as we light candles with one another, to share big moments of finding truth in our lives and unraveling stories of creating new relationships and taking them further. When we come together as a religious community, we pull ourselves out of our homes, our little localized universes, and wake up in some way. I love one of our gathering hymns, "Wake Now My Senses," because I often feel as though the only way to get through life, especially in this time and age, is just to look down and keep going, almost as though I'm sleepwalking. And yet being together with other people with whom I share values and hopes, though different experiences, enables me to wake up, to find a new sense of perspective, to see injustice in places that felt like normal life or privileged life for me, and to work together for something bigger than only I can vision. This, my friends, is ministry. Ministry in its broad sense, not just professional ministry that I might bring or others, but ministry in being open and companioning the world through its hard moments as well as its joyous moments. That's a ministry that is each of ours. The priesthood and prophethood of all believers means that we share in this together and that we take risks with one another to listen to our own stories and share them, to be willing to listen to the stories of others and hold space for it, even in imperfection. Ministry, this thing we do on Sunday mornings as well as Sunday evenings and throughout the week in small groups, and social justice meetings and actions throughout the community, when it's coffee between parents who are struggling or friends who are dealing with an illness, It's about meeting one another with a listening ear so that we may hear the more sacred truth within our stories. I go back to Howard Thurman. Give me the listening ear. Let me hear not just my own wants and desires. Let my ear not shrink from the word that corrects or admonishes or holds up before me the image that causes me to pause and reconsider. That's the one I have the hardest with, if you're wondering. That image that makes me pause and think, is this real? Is this who I want to be and who I plan to be? And how can I change that? In the meditation that Howard Thurman writes, he talks about ways that we can seek stimulation out of old ruts and established habits so that we look beyond our own personal interests and needs. Thurman encapsulates one of the keys to a life fully lived, that is, beholding a life which seems natural and ordinary, mundane even, and finding the holy within it. In anything in this world, we can find something sacred and holy. The mission of our liberal religious tradition, expressed uniquely here in Muncie, as well as in Bloomington and cities throughout the country and world, in homes that are disconnected from congregations, our faith's calling is to examine life as it is, recognizing what it could be, what it ought to be if the world were just, but being present to life as it is and working to find the holy in there and working for justice towards our goals and dreams of a world being made fair and all her people one. Therein lies some of the truth that I find from the reading Karen so graciously offered from the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray. This is no time for casual faith. That felt abundantly true when I've been working on this sermon for a little while now. That felt true this morning as I turned on, actually I didn't even have to turn it on. I went down to breakfast with my little ones in the hotel, and the news was already on with the troubling news of yet another mass shooting, not in El Paso yesterday, but one since then in Dayton. This is no time for a casual faith. Climate change affecting our world in greater and greater ways, violence in homes and streets and cities and schools, poverty and lack of access to housing, food and water. The gravity of the problems we face pull us down to earth so frequently that we find ourselves avoiding the sacred holy mountain that we could and just looking around, arguing over where something special is located, unable to look up. That gravity of the problems we face, the pressure exists on us all the same, even sometimes when it feels like there's so much happening that we become numb to it. Wake now, my senses, indeed. With justice thy guide, our vision of ministry clear, wake our senses to the world around us. The Reverend Sean Neil Barron offers this, and I integrated this to pause for the shooting in Dayton, in El Paso, and in Gilroy. Sean writes, there are not enough candles in the world. If we were to light one for each death, for each man gunned down, each trans person attacked, every woman left battered, every child caught in the crossfire, for every family starved by sanctions and every militant massacred. If each time this happened, we gathered all together, massing, converging on town square, on common green, an internet chat room, lit only by the faint dancing light of a candle, together lamenting, together rejoicing in the life that still lives, there would not be enough candles. At first, there would be runs to the stores to buy them, a new practice taken up with vigor, shelves left barren, determined remembrance for each departed at first. After a while, though, it would just be another item to buy on the grocery list. Every night gathering together to read yet another set of names, Each night would bleed into the next. Even still, there are not enough candles. Part of me, he writes, wishes we would engage in this lament. Part of me wishes those who sell the guns and make the guns and pass the policies and deploy the troops and utter racist, harmful words would all be there. That slowly the names would smooth away the rationalizations, the false projections, twisted logic and false hopes, the idealistic dreams that all dwell within the violence. But I know there are not enough candles in the world. This is indeed a time, no time for casual faith. We come into this place made sacred by our very being, by the souls and stories that we shoulder and share along the way. We come here, and in so doing, save one another's lives. Our call to worship came from Vanessa Southern. She had a lecture which she created into an article in the UU World, a magazine sent out by the Unitarian Universalist Association. She starts by recounting these words from another minister, Kay Northcutt. Kay had a difficult time getting to a seminar. She was sick. It took a team of doctors to get her there. It was a powerful moment for Vanessa and others. This is what Kay said to 400 UU ministers. You are lifesavers. You are mosaic makers called to put together broken bit by bit, creating patterns of beauty and meaning out of pain and loss. Vanessa Southern takes those words further. Lifesavers, mosaic makers. In a smaller seminar gathered later, the speaker, Kay Northcutt, said, "Did you hear me? Did you hear me say that you are the hope of the world?" It was this she had come so far to say, that she had made so much personal sacrifice to say. A day after shootings in El Paso and Dayton, you cannot tell me that this world doesn't need the hope that we bear and bring together in this community. Perhaps you've come to this place and have had your life saved in the process, taking broken bits of your life and putting them back together through small group ministry, through pastoral care by lay people and professional, by kids and youth connecting. We need hope in this world, whether it's from our own personal lives as we struggle with illness or addiction to substances, addictions to the things that harm us, as we struggle with job loss or what our role is in the world. We need hope as we celebrate our successes and come together. And we need hope in this larger world if we are to face those challenges I mentioned and more, the social justice work to which you all are committed around our climate and safety for folks who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, and/or trans. If we are to truly name that Black Lives Matter in this world, we need hope. Vanessa Southern gives us that hope, but also calls us to task. She writes, "It is time to declare a moratorium on mere caretaking of our communities. It's time to ask each congregation to find and serve its greatness or shut its doors. Find and find and find again your greatness. Explore what high demand life looks like among us, because in my experience," this is Vanessa writing, "this is what people come to us looking for. In their moments of pain and struggle, they come looking for high demand religious community. What is our greatness?" she asked. "What is our greatness in this day and in this age? Where is the place where we set about knitting the world back into a unified whole? Loving the world and its hurt places, where do we focus our efforts at resurrection?" She ends by saying, "We need nothing less than to reclaim that spirit of fierce unrest, unleashed by people who know that life is either a daring adventure or nothing, who build congregations with no bleacher seats and no time for spectators. people who will face the roiling seas and real or imagined dragons to carry themselves and their congregation to a land of milk and honey where there is no room for small dreams. Whatever the dreams you bring into this place, your own, about this religious community, about Muncie, the county, the state, the world around us, whatever they are, we recognize that they are big dreams, and they take courage to name and pursue. I often find myself called to the work of Brené Brown. Many of you are familiar with her, with work around daring greatly. Recently, she released a Netflix special, The Call to Courage. And courage is one of those things I find myself struggling with on a daily basis. It's a post-it note. And so I appreciated she told this story of she and her partner swimming, I think in a lake or maybe across a river, and they were really struggling to connect. It felt like her partner was not paying her any attention whatsoever. And finally she stopped and she said, "Look, the story I'm telling myself about what's happening is that you don't find me attractive, that you're not connecting with me." And it turned out that that night her partner had this dream, this terrible nightmare of something taking down their kids into the water and him not being able to save the kids or himself or her. And so he was focused. Like the people in our story for all ages, he was looking down, unable to see the beauty that was around and make human connection, looking down for a reason, wanting to keep himself and his loved ones safe. That moment of risk that Brené Brown took in saying, "Look, I don't know what's going on for you, but here's the story I'm telling myself." That has been life-saving for me since I've heard it. To pause for a moment and check in to say, is this your reality? Because this is what I'm thinking. This is what I think is going on. My hope is that we, as Unitarian Universalists, know that our lives are more manageable when we connect with others. Our pain is easier to bear when carried across the backs of others. The tears may not be lessened, but they're held and cared for when we can cry on the shoulders of friends and colleagues. Joys are magnified when they're witnessed and celebrated by those who loved us, and our smiles are exponentially brighter, and our laughs are exponentially louder when we combine them together. Alone, we can do a lot, but together, so much more unimaginable, something greater than the sum of its parts. The bonds we need to make it through life are not just limited to family. We get to grow and choose our family, our chosen family, our friends, teams, communities to which we relate and commit. And as a religious community, our bonds extend not just to one another in these walls, but our bonds extend to the past and to the future. How we are as a religious community, how we create and sustain this community, is not just about us, though how we feel matters. We are the heirs of a heritage of liberal religious community, just as we are also the generation that will gracefully pass along this faith to those who will come after. We are links in a chain connecting past to present to the prospective. This is indeed no time for a casual faith. The Reverend Susan Frederick Gray said it best. As Unitarian Universalists, we are first and foremost religious communities that practice love as our foundation. We are living in times of heartbreak, violence, and pain, and in this time, we need communities that remind us of our humanity. Not our perfections, not what we wish the world was like, but our humanity. We all have a role to play, she writes, in making a stronger commitment to build something new in our communities, to make a stronger commitment to nurture healthy, radically inclusive communities, and the powerful practice of this faith that helps us build a courageous and fierce embodied love to solve those problems I listed, the things that challenge us in our hearts and in the world around us. We need a courageous and fierce embodied love. With that sense of hope and courage, of risk-taking and resilience, I invite you all to join me in singing together our closing hymn, number 1008, When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place.